positive perspective, one of the most interesting hours on web radio, where we shine the positive light of Jesus Christ on music, scripture, community, and world issues. We're being broadcast from the awesome Skid Row Studios in beautiful downtown Los Angeles. If you would like to see our show live, go to skidrowstudios.com and hit live video. And now, our show.
Hi, I'm Willis Boyd.
And I'm Denise Boyd.
And you are listening to Positive Perspective. Our very special guest, Norris Evans, and his family have not arrived yet, but I think they will be arriving shortly. We have in-house tonight Shante, who's always in-house, and Melvin Ishmael Johnson. And Denise is... he's a co-host and all that. So, tonight's topic is, I just was hearing a little, some stuff about Target stores and their toy department or their children's department. And I guess tonight's topic is gender-free society. Or what did you read?
Gender-neutral.
Gender-neutral society. And I'm just going to say, what are the pros and cons to that? Or, you know, are we making a big deal of it? I was speaking with Shante about some of the things when she was growing up. And first of all, does anybody know, I guess you do, huh, Shante, about what it is that Target is doing, basically?
Yeah, they're taking the boy and girl labels off of children's toys. I think children's, like, bedding. So, and they're taking the colors out, so they're going to have kind of a brown, like, neutral color, they called it. So basically they're taking off the labels that are associated with what makes a toy for a boy or a girl. So a kid can walk in there and just see a toy that they like and get it, as opposed to, I can't get that because I'm a boy or because I'm a girl, I can't play with
okay,
that toy.
Okay, so they have now basically labels that say, this is for girl and this is for boy?
Well, they have like a boy-girl section. I guess that's what they had before. And they're taking that down and they're just putting the toys together. And kids can get what they want based off what they like.
Okay, now, isn't that basically, I mean, I guess I don't really pay that much attention to it anymore.
Well, they're keeping the labels in terms of clothing. They're just saying that the labels in terms of toys aren't needed because kids just play with whatever they want to play with.
They had like a pink section. And that's where all the dolls and the
But that was their thing, right?
Well, no, almost every toy store.
I mean, so that. Walmart has that, and so
yeah.
they have a girl section, you know what section is.
You got the Hot Wheels in one section and the dolls in another section. I mean, they're all in the same toy section, but all of the girly stuff.
You can see where the boys end and the girls section begins, by based off of color and what's there.
Oh, okay. I guess I never really pay attention to it like that. But we were talking, Shante, a little bit about that. How do you feel about that?
I said in terms of toys, I don't see the problem with it because I think kids just play with whatever they like. Mm-hmm. And I think girls will still gravitate towards certain toys and boys will. And then maybe girls like wrestling toys or footballs or whatever. And that's what I like when I was growing up and I didn't turn out gay or anything. I just think that's just what you like. And I think it takes away the stigma of I can't play with that or it's wrong for me to play with that because I'm a boy or because I'm a girl. I think they don't see it like that. They just like what they like playing with.
Okay, now go ahead.
Do you think that that this is a girl toy or a boy toy? Was that something the parents, kind of inflicted upon them?
Yeah, but I think the stores do it too. I mean, your parents do, and when you go in the store, you see
that's
like
marketing.
I meant,
being around mostly all boys, I guess growing up, we just went into the toy department and you just picked out a toy. Nobody looked to see whether it was boy or girl. But then, with having sons and almost all grandsons, they went to the toy department and they went where, they wanted to get a Jeep or they wanted to get a ball or something,
I think sometimes your parents, it depends. Your parents kind of enforce what
they... Or do you think so?
Yeah, because I think if a boy wanted like an easy bake oven just because he wanted to cook something, then it would be like, don't go near that. I don't think that means he's going to be gay, but he likes that. And I don't know. I think parents, some of them get weird like that. Like, why does he want to play with that? Is there something wrong with him? Like,
I remember Dominique wanted an easy bake oven.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but they don't have that kind of thing for a boy.
Well, I remember when I was growing up, and I had
Chris and all of us, we thought it was cool because you could bake your own desserts, and he's not gay. Well, he just thought it was cool. But I think some parents, if they saw him playing with a pink oven or something now, they would.
I wasn't down with it, but my sister had an easy bake oven, and it was cool.
Some parents are like, he likes that, and there's something wrong. Like, they take it too far where his mind may not even be that. He just wants to cook something or it looks cool.
Well, I was growing up, and I got in trouble from my mom. My dad didn't seem to mind, but I had, like, Barbie dolls.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, but on the bed, I had a Barbie doll on each corner of the bed. And my mom knew that I was practicing being a pimp. But my dad, he didn't really care because he knew what was going on because I had a doll on each corner. So it's like, yeah, I was playing with Barbie dolls, but it was, you know, kind of, it was a messed up deal.
Deep, it was deep.
Well, you know, I think, you know, being raised up that there was two girls that were older and then my brother, you know, was younger.
Telling him, like, I hung out with my brother a lot growing up, so we played, you know, sports. So that's kind of like what I liked. I still had like some doll stuff, but I liked boy stuff too, just because we were close when we were
right. No, and you know, I get that, but are they taking it further?
Well, that's because
I said they can if they want to like mix their clothing like that. But I think where they're at right now, I don't see what's wrong with it. I think the parents will make it into something.
I think the parents is who made it into what it is right now.
Yeah, the parents complained about it.
You know, because like I was saying, being raised where there was two girls and then my brother's 5.5 years younger. My sister was more the girly girl. I was the tomboy, you know, played out in the streets with the boys. You know, my girlfriend and I, we were out there, you know, whatever they were doing. But when it came, I can remember like it was yesterday. One year, my dad's cousin worked for Mattel, and my sister and I got Chatty Cathy dolls. You pull the string, and the doll talked to you.
And she takes after that Chatty Cathy because she talks.
But my brother, you know, what he got that you know my dad's cousin got was a Casper the Ghost that you pulled the string and it talked to him. So it was like a doll, but it wasn't the as feminine as a doll with the hair and the, you know, the big eyelashes. But he got a talkable.
But
animal.
I'm just saying, if he had got a Chatty Cathy, I would have had something to say about it.
You know, well, yeah, because you know, but it was
why?
I'm not gonna let my boy play with a Chatty Cathy doll.
I just wonder where it's coming from because like I play with like Stone Cold Steve Austin's and The Rock.
I don't know. I just think it's different.
You're saying it's different with boys?
I think it is. I think girls, because you know girls can be tomboys and tough and this and that, but when a little boy is doing that, you're kind of wondering why, you know?
I think you try to do like what my mom, you know, my mom and my dad's cousin, you kind of direct them in. You want to have a doll. Well, this is more of a, you know, for lack of a better term, a manly doll. Or you want a wrestler, which is a doll.
Is there something wrong with that?
I don't know.
You don't think that there's not anything, there's something wrong with teaching a young boy to be
a boy or a man, or masculine? Why, if it's wrong that he gravitates towards that, then if a girl gravitates towards like boy toys, it doesn't mean the same thing. That she wouldn't like term gay too, or?
Well, I just don't know. I just think that girls are like Denise. I mean, at the park one time, we were playing flag football, and she was running. My brother tried to grab her flag, and she straight-armed him. I mean, she just went boom and went right by him.
Denise?
I mean, she's real athletic. Basketball, soccer, I mean, just. And that impressed the heck out of me. Mm-hmm. Okay, but for a young boy or a boy to gravitate toward, and like when we did the study on homosexuality and are you born that way or whatever, it's usually because he's brought up around a bunch of girls and that's what they're training him to be.
Don't have a role, male model.
They're training him to be a girl. And it's not right or natural, in my opinion.
Well, I was also on the way down reading an article by a doctor that had done a study and was saying that they didn't think it, you know, when you start trying to go gender neutral and stuff, you know, I think toys are, you know, like Shantae said, they're going to figure it out. Well, you
that's
know,
what
girls
I'm
and
saying.
Boys.
If he starts doing that, I mean, if he's young, but like, I wouldn't just like slap it out of his hand immediately, yeah. But I think he's just like curious as to what it is.
Well, let
I,
him
I
take think, it home.
Well, no, I think well, sometimes just you just direct him
for
into
a little
let
bit.
Him have it for 15 minutes
well,
in the toy aisle.
Well, it's like, let him be well, for I'm a sure, little bit, but he's know. Like young.
Well, go ahead, Mel.
Well, I think the danger comes from when you're dealing with a dysfunctional family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Single heads of the household and all that. I always thought it was a bad idea to have young men with dolls and all that kind of stuff at a
girly dolls.
Age.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now there's G.I. Joes that they dolls, but like she said, a Chatty Cathy is like
was mm-hmm. different from Casper the Ghost,
right.
You know, but it still talk like my sisters of
and,
mine did.
Go ahead, Melvin.
Mm-hmm. And I just, the first 7 years. Whether male or female should be under the nutrient of the mother. Mm-hmm. See, and in the next 7 years, especially the male child, mm-hmm. Should be under the nutrient of the father, especially age 11, see. Because, see, I come up in a household, you know, a large extended family, and I think about it all the time because I had a lot of aunts. And a lot of gay males come out of my family.
Oh, serious?
And it was because they were under the influence of the female that mm-hmm. raised them by themselves, mm-hmm. most of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, I think that's one of the arguments they have in homosexual marriages, you know, two men raising a child or two women raising a child, is that the man and the woman offer different things to a child in the upraising. So when you tend to have, you know, two of the same sex raising them, you're missing out the part from the other sex that adds
even,
to it.
But even in a gay marriage, it's masculine and feminine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. But you know, still see when mm-hmm. you're looking there, a child's looking at them, they don't see a man and a woman. They see two women or two men, no matter how they act, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, to me, you know, I can only begin to imagine, you know, a girl, you know, going into womanhood when her period starts and she's got, you know, even if the man is a feminine man, mm-hmm. you're going to go try to talk to him about that because he doesn't know what she's
right.
experienced.
Great point.
Mm-hmm. You know, or a boy that's going through, you know, puberty and he's talking to the masculine female, you know, there's a lot of hormonal changes and, you know, I know what a girl goes through. I don't know what a boy goes through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you just assume that everything's the same, but it's not. They have the same type of changes girls do. It's just not as outwardly as a parent.
So, Melvin, and remember we did the shoe fit.
Mm-hmm.
Shantae, I said we, but I was there, but Shantae was actually in the what do you call that?
The reading.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and before that performance, there was an individual kind of preaching a genderless society. Do you remember? I know you know who I'm talking about.
He was like denouncing the pronouns, so you don't say he and she. Or he said some days I feel like you can call him he, or some days you call him she.
And you know who he is because you were saying that he's bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
He's a bisexual person,
yes,
but
yes.
He was saying that, you know, some days I might feel like a he.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can address me in this way. Or some days I feel like a she.
Mm-hmm.
And you can address me in this way. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
how would you even stand to be around a person like that? When you call him a he might get mad because he feels like a she.
And how would you know that's what he feels like today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean.
Because of the color
of
person.
What would you consider Caitlyn bisexual?
Who's Caitlyn?
Bruce Jenner.
Oh, you mean mm-hmm. Bruce Jenner?
Well,
I said it. It's Bruce Jenner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He still says it. He's like a dad, so I guess he would go by he still or well, either one. I don't know.
You know what I call him? Crazy, stupid.
Well, you know, I think we go by.
Can I call him that?
When we look
no,
at somebody.
No, wait a minute. A better word would be confused, stupid, crazy.
I mean, let's say it wasn't a celebrity and somebody walked in the door right there. If he looks like a male, you're going to say he. If it looks like a female, you're going to say she.
How about if it looked, if she's got on a blonde wig with a mustache and some red lipstick with some hairy legs and high heels?
What what does he look like?
Crazy, stupid, confused. You know,
but like, wait till they introduce themselves. And
but you know,
I'm sorry, man. I hope I'm not offending anybody.
Look, the fact is that that's one of the things they're dealing with now. Mm-hmm. Gay marriage is a law of the land now.
It is.
Mm-hmm. So I don't think they made the adjustments or what we're talking about now. They don't have enough research about the offsprings of same-sex couples yet. I think it'll be interesting then.
Well,
when they get
what
it.
I heard of Lanisha saying that their children are perfect. My daughter-in-law.
That they don't come out like twisted or...
Yeah, but they're perfect.
But I think thing is, what Melvin's saying is, this has only been, a lot of it, public knowledge for maybe, 10, 20 years?
I think it's been longer than that.
No, but not publicly, where there's been any research done. So the research is all pretty new. Let's go, let's wait for another 50 years and see, a couple generations on down, what goes on.
I think the Bible in Romans 1, I'm not sure... 22, whatever. I give you over to a reprobate mind, reprobate. Mm-hmm. I think that the Bible is going to hit it on the head, and that from this decision that the Supreme Court has made, because man has made this decision, doesn't make it a God, act of God or God approved. It's man made. So their marriage is not anything divine or holy. Mm-hmm. This is created of man.
I never thought it was an issue that it had anything to do with religion. I thought it was more of a legal issue, like inheritance, stuff
like
that.
Okay, but if they could have gotten it that way, but they're defying the word of God.
No, they already had it that way. They had, if that was your domestic partner and you were registered as a domestic partner, then you could get, most companies had your medical and stuff. They had your retirements, So they were binding contracts
It was. If you could prove that you were with that person,
and you had they were a binding contract. They wanted marriage.
They wanted to try to turn what God has put into place as a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. It's the devil, in my opinion, saying, look, God has it this way, but look at it now. And it will be that Christian churches and organizations will be sued and they will go out of business because gays will sue them because Christian people cannot condone to homosexual marriage. If they are truly people of God, they cannot do it because the word of God says that is an abomination. It is an abomination. It is not God's way. It's man's way. Okay, so it's not something that we can do. And I mean, I mean about Bruce Jenner and this whole thing, because I'm looking at the damage that's being done to our children. Our children are being confused purposely to weaken their will and to weaken our society. And that's what it's doing, in my opinion. It's taking their mind off of what God has deemed to be holy and right and giving them like...
Well, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. How about before the concept of gay marriage came along, what was it that messed them up then? We had some pretty messed up children out there before marriage.
And I mean, you can say, I'm not saying gay marriage is just an aspect of it, but what are we doing? We're going out there fornicating? That's not God's word, is it?
No.
God has, it laid out for us, and very few of us.
Why our society don't have a problem with sex outside of marriage, but we really have a problem
with gay marriage?
Gay marriage, and both of them is condemned by the same
scripture. Okay, now, the way I see it is if I'm a man and I've got an only child, be it a girl or a boy, and some homosexuals move right next door to me, and they're promoting this homosexualness.
And I think that's the key, what you just said.
Okay, wait a second.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, they're talking to my kid about this thing, or the schools are putting this stuff into my kid's head. And so my child becomes a homosexual. Okay? Do you know what happens?
Wait a minute. You got to make the connection for me.
Okay, I'm saying the influence that homosexuality is taking over. It has been in the school for years. You know, my daddy's friend and this, all this stuff. Okay, I only have one child. I can't have any more. Okay, now, they're influencing him and swaying him and turning him to this belief or this lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So finally, they win him over. He's become a full-fledged homosexual, and that's what he believes. That's what he believes he was born to be. That's what he is, right? Okay, do you know what happens to me?
No.
My bloodline stops. Well, he's not gonna get with a woman. I'm not gonna have any grandchildren, and my bloodline stops right there. Do you understand how important it is for me, for my bloodline to continue on? For my son, my only son, to have children to keep my bloodline going? Mm-hmm. Okay, what they're preaching or what they're teaching is death. Because two men can't have grandkids. They can go adopt a grandkid that might be a good, I mean, it's a good thing to love somebody. I mean, a kid and an orphan, he could be being abused, and you get two homosexual males that love and cherish and do this. That's not a bad thing for a child.
Well, the reason that I don't see, these type of homosexual societies as being a threat to the main society. As a fact, we got history on that. Mm-hmm. The whole Greek society was basically, the Greek and the Roman society was mm-hmm. basically illegal. You would call homosexual, bisexual. It was accepted in those societies.
Well, look at Greece today.
Well, right, they're gone. But I'm just pointing out.
I'm just playing now. Go ahead.
I'm just pointing out that we do have a history of that. Mm-hmm. But I feel that this the attraction between the male and the female is so God-given and strong that the alternate form cannot challenge that. You might see it over a little period of time, but I look at the mainstream society that we live in mm-hmm. as a society built between the male and the female coming together to procreate.
Mm. Well, I think
that's the norm. What
some of the problems mm-hmm. are, or the issues that are coming up is, I still think that the relationship between male and female is so overwhelming, you know. But we are focusing on changing the curriculums in school, rewriting laws and stuff on a 1 or 2% of people in society, you know, and not concentrating on the 90%+ of what everybody else is.
Now, see, when 1 or 2%. 3%, and that's not even homosexual. Yeah. That's transgenders. They say, what, 2% or?
Yeah.
They're trying to make bathrooms in elementary school for transgender children, and there's probably not even
a transgender school per school.
In every school. Okay, now what you said is that you believe that the sex drive of
the male
and female is so strong.
Yeah.
That nothing is going to be able to overpower that.
Right.
But you have homosexuality getting into the mainstream media. Okay. It's in the schools. They're brainwashing our children from kindergarten up. So it's not a matter of sex, okay? Homosexuals are having sex.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's sex. And what you say, a man and a woman and having sex, but it's sex. And it's a pleasure. It's the pleasure of the human flesh.
But all I'm saying is, for example, the whole religious institutions, right?
It's gonna fall.
So responsible for bringing in what we're fighting against right now. You know, when you're talking about the Catholic Church and the Baptist Church and mm-hmm. all like that. They have mm-hmm. always had homosexuals that was undercover.
I know what you're saying is accurate, but you say undercover. Mm-hmm. It's not undercover anymore, Melvin, and it's the way, in my opinion, I believe in the devil. I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back. And I believe the reason why he's coming back is because we will destroy ourselves in that fashion.
Well, I think, you know, if you look at, you know, what happened to the Romans, what happened to the Greeks, what happened to the Egyptians, you know, when they started, you know, having, you know, orgies and homosexuality and stuff, those were great nations, you know, that we can go back and see in history. And those nations just crumbled. You know?
And homosexuality was, I believe, one of the main factors in it. In every last one of them, it played a key role.
Well, what do the scriptures say is supposed to happen to the United States to found the transformation of the Babylonian Empire?
I don't believe, it's not.
Chapter of the book of Daniel?
Well, I don't believe, you believe that's referring to the United States of America?
Well, I just follow what he, what Nebuchadnezzar's dream and what he saw.
His dream,
Daniel broke it down.
Yeah, he broke it down, but in my opinion, that's not saying anything about the United States of America. I mean, symbolically, you could put us there, but I don't think so. I think it's, like you say, very clear what was going to happen, but I think that's like all European and Persia and Rome and that whole thing, those battles.
Mm-hmm. But according to that piece of scripture, all of these earthly kingdoms is supposed to fall and come to an end, and with God setting up an everlasting kingdom, according to that piece of scripture.
Mm-hmm. Okay, who's with you, Norris? Our very special guest, Norris, is here, and he has. I see a little girl in there. Somebody yanked her out of the doorway. But, yeah, you guys can come in if you'd like.
Why don't we go to halftime?
Halftime? Our announcements?
Yeah.
All right, just have time to have a look at what's going on and where you can get it going on.
No halftime music? Oh, you got nothing? Oh, it's nothing? Well, anyway.
Halftime.
Announcements, go ahead.
The best impressions start at home. Elite furniture for affordable prices. Livin' Large Furniture. That's Livin' Large Furniture. For more information, contact Richard Boyd at 951-214-8555. Drama Stage Qumran has a weekly Veterans Theater workshop led by Melvin Ishmael Johnson and Earlene Anthony. The workshop is on Wednesday nights from 4 to 6 p.m., a free course in stage managing, playwriting, and more. Class starts next week, and if you'd like more information, you can contact Melvin at 213-479-1764. That's 213-479-1764, or email them at dramastage1@yahoo.com. We'd like to thank our engineer for helping us out tonight. Much appreciated. Doing great.
What's his name?
I don't know.
William.
William. Okay. Great job.
I'll remember that. Thank you, William. If you'd like to be part of our show through sponsorship, you can contact us at 951-789-1046. If you'd like to learn more about Positive Light and make a donation, you can visit our website, which is positivelight.org. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/wearepositivelight. You're tuning into Positive Perspective, broadcasting live from Skid Row Studios in beautiful downtown L.A., and back to our discussion.
No. We're not going back to it yet. I wanted to bring up that little thing that Richard has. What is it called? The board that you write on?
The balance board.
The balance. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's like what Skrillex and Diplo use at their shows. It's real popular.
Okay, did you have the website? Or did we forget to bring
it? Selfbalanceboards.com.
Say it again.
Selfbalanceboards.com.
Selfbalanceboard.com.
Boards.
.com, and it's going to be a big hit on all the college campuses and in the city and everywhere. Do you have one yet, Shantae? You don't? Okay, well, we're going to try to fix that. Anyway, yes, we'd like to. That's another project Richard is working on. So I'm excited about it. I want to get myself one too as well, even though I have no balance, not even my diet. Anyway, we're going to get back to our discussion. Mr. Norris Evans is in the house. Glad to see you, man. We were worried because there's a big fire over there on the, in the river bottom or something, and thought maybe you got caught up in that mess, did you?
No, no. Actually, I just came from church.
Yeah. Oh, amen. Man. I love that, man. You look like you came from church. You're shining and glowing and everything. It looks beautiful.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think I'm rededicated now. I'm only joking.
What?
You know, I told my pastor one time, I said, you preach so good, I think I'm going to get saved now. So.
Whoa, okay. Well, we've been having a discussion on, and you know what? It's really kind of gone from a genderless society or gender-free society, or what did you call it, niece?
Gender-neutral.
A gender-neutral. We did start out with the Target stores that I believe that you are boycotting, right?
Yes.
You know what? Me too. I think so. I am. If they're giving stuff away, I'm not going in there because I don't know. You know what? But actually, Shantae has broke it down where they're just basically just making their toy section, taking the boy-girl thing out of it. It makes perfect sense to me what they're doing, the way she bought, you know, came up into it. We were talking about the destruction of the United States and Daniel's dream.
I mentioned the second chapter of the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar's dream. That Daniel explained about the succession of kingdoms and eventually God's kingdom being set up on the earth that would last forever.
And we were kind of discussing that I did not believe that America is in that prophecy. But what you were basically saying is that all the kingdoms of the earth would be abolished.
And then
Christ would reign, I believe, for 1,000 years is how it goes, I believe. Norris, what do you got to say about that? You have anything to say about that?
Well,
let me back up a little bit. We were talking about homosexuality and how it plays a part in the destruction of all the great empires and kingdoms, and how it had a great deal to do with the destruction of those powerful empires, and that was what brought up the destruction of those empires in America, which I don't believe America is in that prophecy. I don't believe America is in any Bible prophecy unless it's symbolic or the great Babylon. They say Babylon's national bird was an eagle and ours is an eagle. And I've heard all kinds of crazy things that compare us to Babylon. So would you like to chime in on that?
Well, here's where I go with the whole prophecy thing. I believe when it comes to this subject that we can make mistakes, errors, looking at the signs. And the only reason why I go to that, when you look at every prophecy that was fulfilled, before they were fulfilled, people went the wrong direction. A good example, Christ. Nobody saw Christ coming except three wise men and a lady. Okay. They could follow the sign, but everybody else was wrong, including the Caesars of the time. All right. So I don't think we have enough information to decipher this. We can speculate. All right. Like, for example, when I was coming up as a kid, Hal Lindsey, you know, the late great Planet Earth, I was following that and a whole bunch of people. But now everybody's like, maybe that's not correct. All right. Matter of fact, according to Hal Lindsey, he was predicting sort of like maybe 1999, okay, maybe the time when Christ comes back. And now we're seeing that did not happen.
Okay, but the Bible says no man knows the hour.
Well, that's clear. Right, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, so why would you believe this man knew when the Bible said no man knows?
Well, this is exactly what I'm saying, okay? Nobody knows. We can speculate, all right? And we can come up where we think this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Like, for example, I hear a lot of people say, well, we're in the end times, all right? And I say,
I believe that's accurate.
Well,
but the end times could be 50 years, it could be 100 years.
Or 1,000 years in the eyesight of God. I mean, you know.
Okay, go ahead, make your point. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, my thing is, everybody wants to say, well, look at all the things happening, and that's why we know we're in the end times, but these things have been happening, all right? Only difference is we got the internet. That's the only difference.
Okay, now, the most powerful nation in the whole world, which is the United States of America, we are the most powerful nation in the whole world, and I believe that with all my heart, okay? We are letting homosexuals take over, and I believe that that is an abomination to God's word. I believe God's word, I mean, I believe we're going to have to pay. I just don't know how or when, but I believe that homosexuals are going to get in here and churches are not going to be able to marry them. Good, you know, believing Christian churches can't marry them. They're going to sue those churches. The government is going to fall on those churches, and those churches are going to stop existing for that reason. And then we're going to be like a bunch of, you know, like a Mad Max movie or something.
Well, that'd be underground
churches. Yeah, underground like in the sewers and everywhere trying to preach the word of God.
But I think it'll be like it is in like Russia because of, or the Soviet Union where there are atheists or communists. They're like an atheist country. There's still Christians around there. But again, everything is in secrecy because, you know, you can lose your life.
And I believe that with this, you know, legalizing of homosexual marriage, I think it's going to break the church down because the church cannot condone to it.
Well, let me say this. Okay. There's a number of directions I want to go with this, but let me say as far as that goes, in my opinion, the church was fighting the wrong battle in the first place. Okay, because the same laws that protect our right of religious practice is the same laws that protect their right to choose homosexuality. So the church was trying to make America go with the religious viewpoint. And I think that was wrong in America.
So
what viewpoint should they gone after?
Well, it's not even a viewpoint, okay?
I mean, back when they wrote the Constitution, and it was unheard. I mean, you had Sodom and Gomorrah, and like you say, homosexuality has been around since the beginning of time, okay? And when this country was founded on the Word of God. I mean, if you look at our Congress, at our tax, you look at all of that thing.
Hold on. I agree with you that they tried to find it on the Word of God, but let's look in the same Constitution, okay, Hispanics, Indians, and Black are not even full people.
So, all right. So how's that? They were three-fifths to the Hispanics?
Well, Chinese, Hispanics.
Well, during that time, you didn't have the Hispanics wasn't even
non-existent. Not Mexicans. They hadn't been created yet because that's a Spanish and Indian,
Spain,
right?
Power, yeah.
Yeah, but they still didn't consider them to be
fully human.
Okay. The Chinamen, I'm saying Hispanic, but whatever they would have been called back then in that time, they wasn't white America. All right. So they didn't have the same rights. Okay. And they actually had laws to stop them from.
We'll talk about this later because when you talk Spanish, you're talking Spain, and Spain was
days. Hold up. You did have Spanish and you had the Latin community, but in America, we just had a war with them. We wasn't not about to let them, well, they wasn't about to let them own and get back their land.
I think when the Constitution was written, one of the big things the Founding Fathers had was church and state was to be two separate issues. Exactly. And that was their big thing because that's not how it was over in England. That's why one of the reasons they left and broke away from England because they were too intertwined and they wanted to make sure that those things were separate. Now our big dispute comes down to is, what can the churches do and what's legal matters, you know? And so I think they're saying marriage is no longer a church issue. It's now become a state issue.
And that's the major issue in which people should look at the fact, did the Supreme Court overstep their boundaries? Mm-hmm. Because we've always had the separation of powers here, you know, the different branches of the government. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you got the Supreme Court that interfere with the religious rights. Mm-hmm. See, I think eventually we're going to come back around to some kind of Supreme Court decision, but they just haven't had a case yet to take it always to the Supreme Court. What happened is the gay, well, the gay community outmaneuvered everybody else.
Exactly.
Because they out-organized it. When people were asleep, they were organized. And this is how they were able to pull that off, see? So the rest of the community, they're going to have to get just like they took a case and brought it all the way up to the Supreme Court where people were asleep. It's going to take another case to go there to challenge that law.
Well, I think... Mm-hmm.
Can I chime in?
No, go ahead.
I just want to chime in. Mm-hmm. That's what I meant by the people that was trying to fight it was fighting it the wrong way. They didn't take the, like what Denise was talking about, separation of church and state and fighting from that. No, it was fighting, no, this is God's.
Oh, the Bible says this.
The Bible
says
this.
Right.
Okay, that, you can't fight it that way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where we slept, okay, because we could have took the same human rights and pushed that issue. Okay, but we didn't. We pushed the spiritual, which is not going to work in a country.
The state.
Well, and I think that when you go back and you look at the abortion rules and stuff, that's what the abortion people did, said, if we legalize abortions, it's still a personal. So if your religious belief is you're not going to do that, they kept it separate. And when it came back then to marriages and stuff, they didn't. They intertwined them together, and they wrote laws that, you know, instead of fighting it, you know, on the different grounds and stuff.
And one more thing. See, even the church leadership put up the wrong argument. Mm-hmm. Because, see, they put up the argument going all the way back to Solomon and Gomorrah and saying that Jesus didn't have any teachings on marriage. And the whole concept of Jesus' teaching was about marriage. When he said the bridegroom and the bride, he used
church.
That's what he's talking about. Right.
Yeah, he had beautiful... See,
And how many church leaders you heard use that argument, you know, to convince their congregation that what Jesus did take a stand on marriage? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what Nora said is that they completely underestimated what they were going up against.
Yeah.
And as it just kept pushing up against to the Supreme Court, you know, as it kept going to this court of appeals, that court, this one, you know, and they just kept assuming, you know, well, the church leaders are going to take care of this. The church leaders are going to take care of this. Because there really wasn't a lot on the Christian side that there was that big of a push on it. Because everybody just assumed the church leaders were going to take care of it. And then you had the Catholic Church that had their big strong point. But everybody looked at, well, that's just the Catholic Church. They don't even like birth control. So they just kind of pushed it under the carpet. And then, like you said, they just came out of nowhere. The homework wasn't done, and then it just slid right through the Supreme Court, and people were like, oh.
Well, I think it's just like you say, that the end times, I think, the end times, and like in California, the, what is it, Proposition 8?
Yeah, Prop 8.
Okay, they lost that, or... We won it.
The voters voted.
Okay, they took it to a homosexual judge, and he passed.
Who should have recused himself from it because he was too close involved in that.
Okay,
you know?
Okay,
and
so
he didn't.
My thing is that the Supreme Court, them bad boys is probably homo, and what is it? What does the Bible say about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power in high places? Mm-hmm. And see, this is how I connect the dots as far as the end times are coming.
Can I say this, though? Wrestle against. There was no fight. And it just wasn't. It was, you know, it's like a two-year-old going up against Muhammad Ali or something.
Okay, but the fight starts now, though.
Well, the fight does start now, but we got to rethink this whole thing. It cannot be on platforms that we've been using before, because those platforms have been defeated. Okay, look, we're looking at a time that it might be illegal to say Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, and that's where I'm getting at. You could probably get thrown in jail.
Right, or becoming a sexist or something.
Or fired from your job because now you're making a racial slur, and I mean racial against the gay community
anything from Romans 1. You know, chapter 1 about homosexuality.
Well, let's look at this.
It's a book of hatred.
Well, here's the thing. That's where it's going. It's saying that this book cannot be true because look at these truths that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible doesn't agree with these truths, so something is wrong with the Bible.
Right, and that's what the Bible also says, that they were called good evil and evil good.
Well, let me go with you on this one. I do believe that whether we're in the end time or not, we're definitely getting set up for these things. And just like with all prophecies, this is a good example, the Christian community didn't see this thing coming. They thought, no way they're going to pass this law. Mm-hmm. All right?
Oh, all right. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it was just inevitable.
Right.
Yeah, I thought it would have come sooner.
I mean, oh, you did? I didn't think it would come sooner, but I knew they were going to push.
I knew it wouldn't end with Prop 8. I just thought they would already have.
Yeah, see, I assumed on it that it was going to be that's a church issue. We're separate in this, and it would have just ended right then and there, and they would have just said that the church handled their type of thing.
It's like they're organizing just like the Mexican people now. I believe that Mexican people are going to eventually have all of the government spots in L.A., and then have all the government spots because of their population.
But that's through their voted in and stuff.
They're organizing.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is on the gay community, other than the word marriage and that legal piece of paper, they already had everything was done through their domestic partnerships and all this type of stuff. It was
God-defiant. They want to defy that, God. Really,
let me go here, and this is going to sound kind of weird. What they want is freedom. Okay.
They want is what they want. Doesn't matter what
that's
it
what
is.
I mean. It's freedom.
Freedom. They will.
Okay. Like I explained
you
to
think that. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well,
nurse.
Like I explained to a friend of mine. Okay. Sometimes to understand, and I hate to use this term, the enemy, you got to think like the enemy. If you've been in your closet all these years, not free to come out, not free to do this and that, all right, and you get the opportunity to come out, not only will you come out, you're going to put everybody else in the closet that had you in there.
Well, yeah.
Well, that's what's exactly. Okay, we're looking at maybe by the time my daughter Nina grows up, that it may be weird in a psychological disorder to be straight.
And that's what Norris was saying, that he believed. Melvin was saying. Melvin was saying that he thinks that the sex drive between a man and a woman is so strong that nothing's going to be able to overpower it.
Right, because the reason I believe that is because that's the creative life force, where life come from.
Yeah.
And that's God-given force. I just think what I said earlier, these demon-type lifestyle and fornication is also, see, people, they're more of a threat of fornication than it is same-sex marriage.
Well,
to society as a whole, because people have made it normal. It's normal be married and have sex outside of marriage.
Have kids outside of
still
marriage.
Sit and sit in church and think that's okay.
Yeah.
And then the homosexuals grab up the kids that are being thrown away so they can feel like a family. So they have basically everything they want.
I would ask, which is the most threat to our society, fornication or same-sex marriage?
I think same-sex marriage, because I think in fornication, you have a child that can either go the wrong way or the right way. In same-sex marriage, you have nothing. You have death. Okay. It's better to have something to work with than to have nothing at all.
Well, you know what? I don't even think it's a question of what's more. Because really, when you define the word fornication, it includes same-sex marriage.
It does. Sexual
immorality, period.
Right.
This is the whole thing. In this society, everybody wants to be free. I want to be free to have seven wives.
I do.
Be free to have seven concubines.
Tell me.
You know, but we're talking about everybody wanting to go up against the will of God.
But that's not just in this society. That's been since human nature. When Adam and Eve sinned, they wanted to do what they wanted to do, but there was consequences. They had to answer to God for what they did. And, you know, we will too. But we are all still answering to God for what they did way back, you know, thousands of years ago.
Okay, and this is kind of a Christian thing that United States, okay, I'm ticked off because Obama's, you know, open the floodgates for the gays to do all this this stuff. And don't get me wrong, I'm not going to disrespect a gay person. I never have. Maybe behind their back. No, not Shantae. Shantae's looking at me like, what? No, I mean, I treat everybody I treat everybody right, like I want to be treated.
Well, you treat them with respect.
Okay, if I see a gay person, I'm not, it makes my flesh crawl, and Shantae's going to say, well, how'd your butthole smell with a cross patch, you know? That's crazy. Anyway.
I'm sorry. Denise's face. Denise.
You got 4 minutes, and you're...
I'm being me. Okay, so what I'm saying, though, is God is going to punish, okay, but... like in Sodom and Gomorrah or Noah, he made sure that the Christians are, and I'm saying none of us are good, but go ahead.
Okay, and I want to disagree about Sodom and Gomorrah. First of all, Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't just about homosexuality. It was about all forms of sexual morality. Mm-hmm. And this is the whole problem, because traditionally we just put it over to the homosexual. No, he destroyed because it was evil throughout, just... all forms.
I know, but I don't know what Bible you read, but the one I read, that's the point it makes.
Well, it's not the point it makes. That's the point people assume. Okay, now you have to say, because the two the two angels. Okay, because the men
wanted to screw the angels.
But that's one of the things that they wanted to do. Remember before? Okay,
he offered his daughters. They didn't want the daughters.
No, reason why? Well, they wanted to do more.
They wanted the men.
Okay, mm-hmm. Right. But that's not the reason why God destroyed the city. God destroyed the city because of sin.
Okay.
And that's
immorality.
But we're talking about just not homosexuality.
I'm just saying in the Bible I read, that's the point it makes. So no, that's why we can talk about that later. Let me say this.
Go
ahead.
That's one of the things, okay, when you read it, okay, it's very specific. The Bible says God destroyed the city because of sin.
Right.
Period.
Right.
Okay. All right. Now, understand this. Okay. All right. Lot was supposed to be destroyed. Now, I don't think he was homosexual, but...
Why do you think he was supposed to be destroyed?
Because God said he was going to destroy everybody.
No.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah. God said he was going to destroy everybody. So Abraham said, if you find so many people...
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
So now, this is where we get the concept of grace. All right. Mm-hmm. It was grace that God spared Lot and his family.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, they were in an evil city seeing evil things go on. Why are they there? Why did he stay there? He stayed there because of sin.
And then the case of his two daughters having sex with him. And I think, the whole thing, the evil whole thing. But what I'm saying is that God usually gets his people out before he destroys something. So what I was trying to get at was... how can God punish the United States? And, I mean, we're not righteous. We're only righteous through the blood of Christ. So that's what makes us righteous. But he can't destroy or punish the United States because there's so many people that are Christians here, unless he takes us out.
Well, God's not talking about punishing. He's talking about punishing the activities of the evil ones.
Oh, well.
Yeah, not destroying human beings as a whole.
Well, I mean, I'm just looking at Sodom and Gomorrah, that the fire came down, and that's the only incident of that happening in the Bible and it was due, in my opinion, and we can talk later, because of homosexuality. Those cities and the cities round about were destroyed because of that reason, according to what I read in the Bible. Now, Norris can enlighten me later on this, but that's what I get. So that's why I'm saying that he destroyed those people, he destroyed everything because of that sin and because of sin. But how can he judge the United States when there are so many Christians
here? He can not destroy the United States, but it can lose its status in the world and still protect his people.
Well, we have lost that status.
Yeah. We're going down the totem pole
when it comes to education, family morals. I mean, look at all the things. Economics, we got more poor people. We got more people in jail. So the punishment is evident. Proof is in the pudding.
That's one way of looking at it, Norris. I've never really looked at it. I only got a few seconds, so I'm going to say beautiful thank you, Norris Evans, Shantae, Melvin, Denise. And I'm going to say what I always say.
We are never more.
Go ahead.
We are never more like Jesus Christ than we are loving.
Than when we are loving, forgiving, and creating. That's a show.